for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Friday morning service of September the 4th, 1987. Jack Harris is a speaker.
I go toward the camp of the Israelites. That means that we're in trouble. And if they don't, it means that everything that happened to us here, all these plagues and everything, was just coincidental. And they took every advantage of the situation to make it look coincidental. It's kind of like I put out a fleece one time. I told, well, it was kind of just kind of a little thing. I told my wife there, went by the automobile place, and this was long about, back in the 70s. And it was first year they cut the Cadillac down from the big one to the, you know, a smaller one. And they had a red and white one out there. And I thought, well, that's the prettiest car I ever seen. I believe I'll just stop and talk to the fellow about it. It's on Saturday evening. It's about closing time. And so I pulled in there, and I knew him. He knew me. And I said, well, that's a pretty car. He said, yes, I got that for you. You know, it's a car salesman talk. And I said, well, you couldn't have picked one I like better. When can I pick it up? He said, can't let you have it now, because got to put it on show in about, you know, it wasn't time for him to be uncovered yet for about 15 days. But after that, we'll trade. We'd trade now, but, and I said, you know, if I buy a car, I drive it, you know. And he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, if you want this car, said, come Monday, this was Saturday evening, and I'll sell it to you, and you can, if you'll bring it back on the day that they're supposed to show them and let me have it for the showcase. So I said, well, if we deal, I'll do that. So my wife, she's, you know, she said, well, what are you going to do? She wasn't with me when I was making the deal. I came on and told her about it, and I said, so she said, well, are you going to buy that car? And I said, I don't know. I've got a fleece out. I said, he locked the door when we left. I mean, on Saturday evening. And Sunday, they're not open, you know. And she said, well, what kind of fleece you put? I said, well, if it's still there Monday morning when he opens. Well, that was taking a little bit of advantage, say the least. Well, that's what the Philistines done. They took a little advantage to make it look like that that God had not, you know, put all these flags on them. They're going to make it look coincidental. So they know a cow is going to come to that calf when he blights.
Uh-huh.
I was raised on a farm, ranch kind of thing. And when that calf blights, that old cow will just come to him. And these cows were not broke to the yoke. They never had been hooked to nothing. And that'll get things tore up, well, I'm telling you. But they hooked them to that ark, to that card on that ark, and them old cows, the Bible says, they went down the road lowing as they went. That lowing is a pitiful, mournful sound. They're wanting them babies. Everything that was cow was telling that old cow to turn around and go back. And that cow really was wanting to turn around and go back to where that calf was blatant. But it was that box back there. Something in that box.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There was something on that cart that was superseding all nature. Hallelujah. Superseded all the nature of that old cow. And made her go contrary, just as contrary to her nature as backward is from forward. Hallelujah. Amen. And they went straight into the, it was in the time of harvest too, if you'll remember. that they came straight into the camp of the Israelites. And oh, there was a rejoicing. Something in that box back there just kept them going. That's what I think I have felt the same thing. There's something just keeps me going. There's something that just keeps motivating me. Something that, oh my, that just will make me go against, you know, when I'm tired. Hallelujah, doesn't make any difference. So I still feel that urgency to go. It's that ark. Hallelujah. And when you ascended up on high, he received. Now let me get into the beauty part here. Underline the word he received in the 18th chapter of this, in the 18th verse of the, where are we? In the 18th? Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, Okay. We'll turn, we're in Psalm 68, okay? So, in the 18th verse, we'll underline the word received. He received gifts. Now, he received gifts for men when he ascended up on high. Now, you see, when the psalmist is in reference to bringing God to Zion, God ascended up on high in Zion, he received gifts for men. We said he received the governmental order and the authority for Israel. And also, in about the 23rd verse, maybe, I'm not sure, I've already turned away from there, I believe, but he deals to every man a loaf of bread and a piece of meat and some wine, women and men alike. You see that? That's all right. Now, God received gifts for men because, see, God doesn't need anything. I mean, how can God receive a gift? I accept that he receive a gift for men. God doesn't need anything that we have. He doesn't need anything from us. But he will receive from us, but you know what he does with it? He receives it for men. Because it has pleased God that he will express himself to humanity. That's how that he will express himself. The Word was made flesh and dwelled among men. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, truth. Hallelujah. All right, the word received in the Hebrew is spelled, I'll spell it for you, L-A-K-A-H. And it means to take hold of. The word receive in the Hebrew, in the original here, it means to take hold of, to seize, you understand? To seize, to take hold of. It means to take by depriving another. I don't know if you got that or not. It means to lay hold of, to seize upon, to take by depriving another. Well, now you'll get it. The enemy, the Bible says that the devil is the prince of the powers of the air. He rules in the powers and principalities. He is called the god of this world. And everywhere he is spoken of as being the god of this world, he has a place in the upper stratosphere where he rules over powers and principalities. And so God gives to the church the fivefold ministry. The gift that he gives back to the church is the authority that we'll take hold of, that will seize upon and deprive another. We will control principalities and powers. Hallelujah. We will control the universe. You see, as you read the Old Testament, especially in the prophecies of Isaiah and Ezekiel, and all of them, Daniel speaks of the government of the kingdom. very much. And but some of those prophecies are fulfillment over into the kingdom age. They'll belong to this age, to the church age. They belong to the kingdom age. That's why that I said the apostles must have walked in it or pursued it. We must either walk in it or pursue. We're walking. Well, what we're doing now is I'd just be honest with you to tell you that we are manifesting in part. We're in the parts realm. But when that which is perfect is come, the parts realm will be, the King James says, done away with. Actually, it will be superseded. The parts will be enveloped in the whole. So it's not that we're just throwing something away. Don't throw nothing away. Just keep it and build on it. Praise the Lord. Just make sure it's on a good foundation. All right, you see, we said that David before had tried to move, tried to transport the ark like the Philistines, but God made a breach on them. You remember Uzziah reaches forth his hand, stricken dead? The Bible said that David was afraid of God that day. And then David did a beautiful thing. He inquired of the Lord in the 15th verse of the 1 Chronicles 15. We don't need to turn back over there, I don't guess. He inquired of the Lord, and all right, now here's where he was at. David attempted to do something. He knew that the ark was supposed to come to Zion, and that this would be God's dwelling place. He attempted to do it, and it didn't work. So when it didn't work, he didn't say, "Oh, well, win some, lose some." Yeah. He inquired of the Lord. He wanted to find out why it didn't work. Uh-huh. If it's supposed to work and it doesn't work, something malfunctioned.
Yes.
Something caused that malfunction. That's what he's looking for. The Bible says, if there's any sick among you, call for the elders, church. They anoint him with oil, lay hands on him, prayer, faith, save sick. Lord, raise him up. If that doesn't work, there's something wrong. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. Is that right? Has that been your experience? Well, when it don't, there's something wrong. When any statement that the Lord makes for us that is supposed to be for us, if it doesn't work, we do the mechanics of it, like you said, and if it doesn't work, something is wrong. It is commendable of David that he sought out what was wrong. Well, why don't we do that? Okay. I'll ask the question, give the answers. Amen. Why don't we do that? The reason is because we already know what's wrong. When it doesn't work. We already know what's wrong, and we're not willing to make the proper adjustments. Did you get that one? Is that right? We already know what's wrong, and we're simply not willing to make the proper adjustments. So we just develop the attitude to win some, lose some, and go ahead, and God's gracious to us, and let's just win a few more. Amen. But he won't continue to do that. It will not continue that way. And if it continues that way, you'll always be in this parts realm. I don't want to spend eternity right here on this plateau. Do you? No, I don't want to spend eternity here. Hallelujah. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Hallelujah. I want to appear before him. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you, we'll go back to our text in Ephesians chapter 4. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. All right, Jesus died on Calvary. And when he was crucified in the 27th chapter of the book of St. Matthew, began with verse 51, many of the graves burst open at the crucifixion. But they remained, those that their graves burst open, remained in the grave. They did not. They were not resurrected, not at that time. But the graves burst open when Jesus was crucified. And there was a great earthquake or whatever transpired there. God pulled the curtain of darkness down upon the cross. For he would not allow the carnal mind of an eye of man to behold the spiritual thing that God was doing. But I declare unto you that while the earth was covered in darkness, God got every ordinance that was against us. And nailed them to the cross under the shadow of darkness. And when Jesus died, so did the ordinances that were contrary to us. Now, those that were not contrary to us, we have retained them, such as baptism in water, not contrary. Communion, not contrary, but as far as going through all these ceremonial, legalistic ceremonial, these were the ones that he nailed to the cross. Then they buried Jesus. And they had his body fastened up in this tomb. But he, in that 3 days, this was the only sign that he would give to that generation, that as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and nights, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. So when his body was in that tomb, he descended. For what is it? He that ascended first descended. He descended into the heart of the earth. Hallelujah. I declare unto you that that was the day that he moved paradise. Hallelujah. For whatever paradise consists of, how our God moved it. Hallelujah. Where did he move it? He moved it from down here somewhere into the upper stratosphere somewhere. Well, that Russian astronaut said, I knew there was no God. He went how many hundred thousands of miles up there and said, I didn't see him. I'll tell you one thing. He may not have seen God, but God seen him. Hallelujah. Amen. And if something had went wrong with his rocket, he would have seen him. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth. He, in 1 Peter, is it 1 Peter here? We'll turn over there and read. He ascended. It's in 2 Peter, I guess. No, it's in the 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 18, 19. Verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Well, then you could read the whole thing, but that's, we're pressed for time here. He goes into paradise, and when he goes into paradise, the Bible speaks of in Hebrews, those that could not be made, these all having died in faith, could not be made perfect without us. But, all right, they died. The Apostle Paul, hear him cry, I'm an apostle born out of due season. They died not having received the promise, but they received a credit voucher. Hallelujah. You know what a credit voucher is? Oh, well, let me tell you then. Back in the 30s, in the county that I live in, the school district went broke with the rest of us. And they couldn't pay the teachers. Couldn't pay the bus drivers. And I don't know what a teacher made, $75 a month, I think, maybe about like that. And the bus driver made 50. So the school made a deal with the teachers. They couldn't find no other job, no hell, and they couldn't do nothing else. I mean, nothing. We'll pay you $25 a month now and give you a credit voucher for $50 a month. To the bus drivers, we'll give you $15 cash and a credit voucher of $35 a month. Now, and they, as far as I know, all of them did that. And it was 4 or 5 years getting all of that straightened out. But what that credit voucher was good for was that if the school district received any money and deposited in the bank, you could take your credit voucher and pull out that amount. So those that died in faith, not having received the promise, because they couldn't be made perfect without us, was living righteously against time element, they received a credit voucher. And they were holding on to these credit vouchers. And they were down there somewhere, and everything was going on up here. But they were in paradise and having a great time in the presence of each other. And the Spirit of the Lord was present with them, and it was indeed paradise. But they were, every once in a while, another one would come to paradise. And they'd say, well, what's happening up there? And they'd say, well, the prophets are prophesying great things. They're prophesying a deliverance. They've even prophesied that we'll be taken out of here and moved to a better, to another loftier place. And then one day this feller came hurtling through down there in paradise. His name was Lazarus. And they said, where are you from? He said, Bethany. They said, what's going on? He said, Jesus, the Messiah, he's up there. Glory. 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 Oh, I ain't joking with you. Had supper with him 2 weeks ago. And then, yeah, he's up there. He's doing all kinds of miracles. Everything is happening. I'll tell you, fellas, it's close. Then in about 4 days, Lazarus just disappeared from paradise. Because Jesus came to Bethany, and he came to the graveside of Lazarus and said to him to come forth. And he couldn't do nothing but come forth. And everybody was astonished. This man's been dead 4 days. Everybody knew that but Lazarus. But Lazarus didn't know that. Because Daniel talks about when Nebuchadnezzar reigned in one realm, he didn't remember the other realm. He had no memory of the other realm. If we came out from the bosom of God, I have no recollection of that. You understand? So Lazarus comes forth and everybody's astonished because they know he's been dead 4 days, but he don't know he's been dead 4 days. See, but when he went to sleep, his sisters told him, said, we've sent a messenger to get Jesus. And Jesus is on his way on a little trip out here, and we've sent some fellas to get him. He'll be back. You take a nap, and when you wake up, Jesus will be here, and everything will be all right. So when he woke up, he naturally thought he had took a nap, like Martha said. And that Jesus had retired. Well, Jesus comes in when he is in the tomb. He comes into the heart of the earth, and they begin to wave their credit vouchers. The graves already bursted open up yonder 3 days ago. Hallelujah. They're just waving a credit voucher to get the redemption of their bodies. Then Jesus walks over to that great gulf that separates the damned from the righteous, and declares to them that they have received their just reward. And then he begins his ascent back up through the heart of the earth, and he led captivity captive. He moved them from one place to another. And when they came out at the surface of the earth, hallelujah, them graves that had burst open, the bodies came out. They were the bodies of those spirits. They had housed those spirits in their lifetime. Hallelujah. And the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. The voice of the archangel and the trump of God and the dead in Christ will rise first. Hallelujah. So the bodies began to rise, and Jesus says to them, he said to them, "All right, fellas, take a 4-day leave. Meet me back in 40 days. So they went down into the cities and were seen by many. Is that scripture? That's what happened. And then Jesus, by the space of 40 days, he proved himself alive by many infallible proofs. And then when the 40 days was up, he gave his disciples, his followers, the commission orders to go to Jerusalem, tarry till you be endued with power from on high. And when he had done that, he ascended up in a cloud. Maybe it was a rain cloud, but I'd rather think it was a cloud, this cloud of witnesses. Have you noticed, if you have been a long time walking with God and coming into his presence, and we're always in his presence, but there are times that we actually focus into his presence, that he is much more real? It is a much more real experience than it was 10 years ago? Was 15 years ago?
Yes.
I think the spirits of just men made perfect are hovering very close. Hallelujah. You know what they're hovering close for in the grandstand? They're waiting for one of us to grab up the ball and run over the goal. Hallelujah. Amen. And then they're going to cheer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They're waiting for us sons of God to walk into life.
That's right.
To come to Zion. To be separated from religious order. Hallelujah. Into the Melchizedek order of ministry. Hallelujah. We cannot do this the way that we are going now. is not sufficient. If the translation should take place today, I believe that the translation will take place in the very, very near future. All spiritual scholars believe that something traumatic and dramatic will happen in the rest of this year and next year. It could very well be the consolation of the sons of God. The 144,000 will have come to Zion. And all those that could not be made perfect without us, hallelujah, will rise in the grandstands. The first resurrection will take place. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, blessed be God forever. And at that time will be determined those that will reign with him forever. It will be determined at the time. In the foreknowledge of God's already determined. But to all it will be determined that they will reign. All will not reign with him. Hallelujah. All will not come to him. Many will be lost because of their rebellious natures and spirits. On the day of Pentecost, on the second chapter of Acts in verse 40, they have posed a question to Peter, said, "What shall we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord." And then he went on to say, "And save yourself from this own two-word generation. Don't let the world catch you up in its mold." I've already said, if I follow our civilization, follow the code of our civilization, let it direct my walk, my talk, my beliefs, I'll miss God a million miles.
Hallelujah.
I will not do it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I will be one of those that will follow the Lamb wheresoever he goeth.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's too many miles behind us. Yes. Blessed be God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ah, yes, Jesus. And so when Jesus descended, then he ascended up into the heavens. He took these with him, these witnesses. Jesus was seated at the right hand of the Father, and the witnesses were placed in the spectators, in the grandstands, waiting and watching until somebody could do that thing that would finish their perfection and finish ours too. And when he ascended up on high, he gave gifts unto men. He gave back the governmental authority to the church. And this is where I see that we're kindly short now, is in the authority, in the governmental authority. Now, I say this without any hint at any legalistic. Nothing is legalistic. No legalistic codes here. Just the following of the Lord. But there is a proper way to follow the Lord. We must submit to leadership. And leadership must submit to other leadership. As a matter of fact, I must submit to the whole body of Christ.
That's right.
I submit to the authority wherever I go. I will not submit to public opinion. The Lord God reigneth.
Yes, He does.
He is clothed with majesty. He is clothed with strength, whereof He girdeth Himself. The earth is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne, O Lord, is established of old. The floods have lifted up. The floods have lifted up their voices. The floods have lifted up their waves. But the Lord God on high is mightier than the voices of many waters. That means He's mightier than public opinion. He is mightier than the waves of the sea. Thy testimony is a very sure in holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We will not bow to public opinion. Hallelujah. Amen. We're not entering into a popularity contest. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And brother said there's nothing competitive.
That's right.
We must develop, allow the principles of the kingdom to be developed in us. And one of the first principles is that that among the sons there is no retaliation. I send you as lambs among wolves. As a lamb has no way he can retaliate. He has no natural safeguards at all. None. Even a rabbit can run fast and dart for his natural safeguards. A lamb has nothing. Unless a shepherd keeps him safe, he has no security. These are some of the principles of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We must bow very low, and yet we are to be exalted very high. Can we make the transition? Many have not been able to make the transition. Many have went through the bowing low, but when they begin to get exalted, they begin to be exalted to a place of preeminence in the kingdom, they couldn't make that test. It may be the hardest of all tests. It may be easier to be humble than it is to be great. Maybe. Hallelujah. But somewhere between the two. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God forever.
Hallelujah.
Let me tell you an experience that I had, that a scripture came very alive to me, and I'll close with this. In Proverbs chapter 18, I believe it's going to be. I may have to get oriented here. Chapter 18, and no, it's, I guess it is in chapter 30. My first guess is usually my best. Yeah, 18, verse 18, 19's one I really want here. Now, you'll have to turn over to this to appreciate it and read with me. In verse 18, I'm in the 30th chapter of Proverbs. In verse 18, there be three things which are too wonderful for me. Yea, four things, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. Some years ago, I was just calculating here came across this scripture, you know, and wondered, well, what does this mean? And then I saying, well, an eagle in the air, what does an eagle in the air have to do with the serpent on a rock? And the serpent on a rock have to do with the way of a ship and the way of a maid with a man or a man with a maid? What is the common denominator? And then, of course, it is easy to discover the common denominator. The common denominator is that there's no trace left. Something happens, something has been here, and when it is gone, that left no trail. No. All right? If an eagle had just flown across this building here, and you walk out 2 minutes after he's flown across here, you can't tell that he ever flew across. He doesn't leave any trail. There's no sign that he came across here. A ship in the sea, if you come along 5 minutes after he's passed, of course, you know, if you see the ship, but if you see the ship, well, of course, you see the, you know, the disturbance of the water, but come through 5 minutes after a big streamliner has gone through, and there's no sign that a ship ever sailed through here. Then he says, a man with a maid. You just use your own interpretation there. Very obvious, isn't it? No sign, you know. And then a serpent on a rock. All right. Now this was became. There are some scriptures that the Lord has just really dramatized for me, and just really brought them alive. Through natural, my natural senses and resources. This was one scripture. I was down in the pasture cleaning out some springs one day. Day, hot as the weather we've been having now. What we had there on the farm was running water springs that boiled up out of the ground, and they formed a little creek or branch, and that's where the cattle watered. But a lot of sand came up through the white sand, and the holes that you dig out for the cattle to drink would fill up with sand. And I was cleaning, dipping the sand out. You could take a foot tub and dip it out, you know, and just make the water deep enough that the horse could lower his nose in it a little bit to take a drink. And it was in this particular place, the water run out from under some maple trees. And the sweet gum trees, and it was a big flat rock, sand rock, brown in color, and it was flat like this stand here, and it was big. It was as big as from here, the rest of this back this way, and water run out from under it, and made a wide place there, and it was sand, and on the other side was sagebrush. I sat there and leaned back against a tree, and kind of resting, you know, taking it easy, and I heard a rustling over there in the sagebrush. And I knew that something was in that sagebrush, maybe a rabbit, might be a frog, might be anything small, you know. So I look, and back as far as near the wall in the sagebrush, I seen the top of that sagebrush wiggling like that. And it was coming closer toward me, and pretty soon a big old moccasin snake crawled out of that sage grass, and I'd seen him come all the way across there, and he crawled out across that sand, that old white sand, and when he crawled out across there, he was that big around, 5 foot long, guess, and he buried up his belly about a third of the way in that sand and left a distinct track right across that branch where he come. And he come right straight toward me. I'm on this rock. And when he gets to that rock, I wonder, I'm just sitting there amazed wondering what he's going to do. And, you know, after a while I have the intention of getting up and, you know, getting rid of him. But if he gets to the rock and he hoists his head right out of that water, sand, sage grass, he hoisted his head up on that rock. and he began to slither up on that rock. And he, pretty soon he slithered up there, and he's got his full length on that old brown sandstone rock. And then I noticed something, that when he came up on that rock, though he'd just come out of that water, you'd think that his body was wet, and now he would leave a wet trail on that rock. But there wasn't one drop of water on that rock. As far as I could determine, he didn't leave one particle of sand on that rock. So I just sat there amazed. And he crawled off all the way across the rock, slithered off the other side, and went out of sight. And as I sat there contemplating, I thought about this scripture. And I seemed to hear echoing off the walls of time through the rustling of the sweet gum and maple tree, as a serpent on a rock, as an eagle in the air, as a ship in the sea, as a man with a maid. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "Son, you've seen it. You notice that serpent crawled through that pass? You've seen coming, and you can go look now and you'll see a trail where he came through it." I eased and I seen a trail about that wide. "You've seen such trails?" "Yeah," he had made it. And then I looked and he said, "You see in that sand there?" He left a trail. But when he came to that rock, his body is so fashioned that nothing clings to it that he will leave on that rock. And he said, "The serpent met Adam in the Garden of Eden, and Adam was the first Adam in the Garden of Eden, and Adam was a man of the earth. And they had a confrontation, and the serpent marred Adam's character for all generations to come in just one conference. He left his track indelibly embedded on the Adamic race." But then he said there was that second Adam, that last Adam, the last Adam. And when he had a confrontation with the last Adam, because the last Adam was a rock, and Paul said that rock followed them throughout the wilderness, when he had a confrontation with that last rock, unlike the first Adam, when he marred all of his descendants forever and left an indelible mark of his presence, when he hit that last Adam, and though he went all the way across, the confrontation was over, he had not marred his character in one place. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus ascended. He went through death, hell, and the grave and ascended up on high. And when he got there, there was not one trace of evidence that he had ever been confronted by the serpent. Hallelujah. I do not hesitate to say unto you that this will be the ministry of the elect during the kingdom age. Hallelujah. That we will begin to eradicate the influence of Satan, who has been bound for 1,000 years at that time. And when we get to the end of the age, we will all, blessed be God. Hallelujah. For those that would dwell in that new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, every trace of any evidence that was ever left behind by him will be eliminated forever. Hallelujah. That's to in that place, the new heaven and the new earth. There is another place, of course, that the damned will be occupying. But we that wait for the new heaven and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, shall enter therein. I'd like to do some more teaching on that, but this time has overtook us here. Praise the Lord. But that's what we'll be doing, is eradicate. You see, Once the translation of the sons of God takes place, we're getting the long end of the stick. Hallelujah. Sometimes we've had the short end. We're getting the long end of the stick, and we're not going to give it up until we take the whole stick. Hallelujah. Away from the enemy. And we'll secure those that will come to him. Anybody that won't come to him will never be secure.
Right.
Never. Never, never. But for those that will come, hallelujah. Ah, yes. Then we'll move into, you see, somebody says, well, when does the wedding, it'll take place somewhere along in here. I'd like to teach on that some more, too, you know, because people that embrace a theory of a rapture, you know, the rapture, you familiar with the rapture theory, I guess? If you embrace a rapture theory, you have to embrace the bride theory as the elite. And you've got to get a wedding gone before there's a groom ready. But if you embrace sonship and the translation instead of a rapture, a translation of the elect, then you can put everything in proper perspective in the book talks about. The wedding takes place. See, I used to preach. I had ministry in the. I told you, came up through the old order, and I had evangelistic type ministry. We preached for decision. You understand what I mean? And oh, what a! It was beautiful, and a lot of people. I got a lot of people to repent. Back in those days, this type ministry. You know, I moved in that for some years, that's. That's a great ministry, but we believed. I embraced the rapture as authentic at that time. But if you do embrace it, there's too many other things that you are, by virtue of embracing, that cannot happen. Look for a translation of sons, because I just quoted it to you from the 8th chapter of Romans this morning. That the whole creation groaneth, travaileth in pain together until now, you know. And we're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's what we're waiting for. If you follow the rapture theory as I knew it was that everybody is saved, suddenly is going to be taken out. And so it gives the people a false hope. And it's a false concept. Because I know people that are waiting for the rapture and expecting the Lord to catch them out any minute, and the buzzard wouldn't help them. I mean, but whatever you're doing, now is the time to get ready for it. Whatever your concept is, you have to get ready. If the rapture theory by chance were correct, you'd still have to make preparations to get in it. Hallelujah. And if the sonship message of the translation of the sons, if that is the event that they've seen and didn't understand, if it is correct, and I believe it is, if it is correct, you have to get ready, or you're not going to be translated.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So whatever it is, you have to get ready, and the way to get ready is to line up with God's Word. Hallelujah. There is no other way.
Amen.
There is no other way. No, that's it. That's it. Praise the Lord. There is no other way. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, this morning I pray for this people. My Lord, I invoke the choicest blessings from heaven for them this day. I invoke choice blessings upon this camp for the remainder of this whole convention, Lord, this time of coming together. I invoke blessings that rest, Lord, and even the prophetic word has gone forth, Lord, that you look over this camp and this acreage, Lord, and your presence is always here, Lord. I witness to that. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, I pray that this word that we have given this morning will be sealed in our hearts. Seal only that will be profitable to the kingdom and to our walk toward the kingdom, O Lord. If I have said anything in folly, anything that is not profitable to the kingdom, I pray that you'd cause this people to forget it before they can get out of the tabernacle this morning. but for all of that that will be profitable to us in our pursuit to the kingdom and to sonship and to submission. Father, I pray that you'd seal it to our spirits forever.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name I pray. Yes, in his precious name.
Hallelujah.
We pray this day. My Lord and our God. My Lord and our God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes. And the Lord would say unto thee, yea, that of a truth you are a blessed people. Yea, you have been privileged this day. Yea, to sit in the presence of his Shekinah glory. Yea, you've sang and you have rejoiced. And that is good with me, saith the Lord. It is good for you. It is good in for your pursuit toward the kingdom, toward sonship, toward submission. Yea, know that I have called many. I will choose a few out of that many. Yea, and they will be found faithful in my kingdom, saith the Lord thou God. The Lord would say unto thee that thou must strive to enter into the straight gate, the narrow gate, for many will try and will not be able, only a few, saith the Lord. I speak not of being saved or lost in this moment, saith the Lord, but I'm speaking of attaining unto the high calling in God. This is the narrowness of the gate. Yea, for many shall just follow traditional religious order. Yea, and shall not be able to enter into the straight gate. But there be those that will follow the Lamb wheresoever he goeth. These will be the ones, yea, that will enter in. Yea, they are the ones that will rule and reign throughout the ages, saith the Lord. Yea, of the increase of my government and peace, there will come no end. If I have chosen thee at this time, yea, if thou hast been found faithful at that time, thou shalt enter into a rule with me. Yea, for thou shalt rule as a kingdom of priests throughout the ages upon ages, saith the Lord thou God. Thou shalt be near me, and I shall overshadow thee. Yea, for we shall be indeed, we shall be one, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, we shall have one aim and one purpose. We shall be one in the truest sense of oneness, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, pay close attention to that you heard this day, that you heard last night, and that you will hear throughout the remaining of this camp. And be participators, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, enter in and worship the Lord. Yea, and for the hard sayings, if there be hard sayings for thee, do not rebel against God. Yea, but take them under consideration. Yea, remember them. I shall call them to your remembrance again. I shall enlarge your understanding. Yea, and some of the things that you have thought were not so, thou shalt know of a truth that it is true. Yea, some of the things that thou would refuse to embrace, yea, thou will come a time that you'd be willing to stake your life and to give and dedicate your very life to that cause, saith the Lord. For I shall move and no man can hinder. There is not a crevice of darkness in the universe that I cannot scan with mine eye, saith the Lord. Yea, there is not the furthest reach of any peninsula in the universe that I cannot reach, saith the Lord. Yea, there is nothing that shall be too hard for your God. Yea, even the faintest cry from the furthest crevices of the darkness of this universe I can hear, saith the Lord. Yea, I shall incline mine ear unto thee. I shall pay close attention unto thee. I shall cause enlargement to come unto thee. Yea, I shall cleanse thee from all unrighteousness. I shall cleanse thee from every stain of guilt, saith the Lord thou God. I shall set the oppressed free. I shall bring deliverance in your midst. Yea, and it shall become a true living reality with you, because the Lord thou God shall move among you in a supernatural way. His Shekinah glory shall overshadow thee. Yea, and you shall find that you are being cleansed just by being in his presence, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, therefore I say unto thee that thou must minister one to another. Yea, thou must adhere to order, divine order. Yea, and seek out the government of God, and know that I have placed in the church a fivefold ministry. Yea, that shall help thee all the way. Yea, that shall bring thee finally to a place of perfection, to the stature of the fullness of the Christ, saith the Lord thou God. Only be obedient, and you shall eat of the good of the spiritual land, say God. Ah, for you are my people, and are of my calling. I have brought thee forth from many directions and many locations. You have come from many walks of life. You have come. Yea, and I shall minister to you in this season of time, saith the Lord. Yea, and when that time comes that you are to arise to a fullness, you will find that he who began a good work in you was able indeed to perform it unto the day that it was necessary that it be manifested, saith the Lord. For I am God, and I change not, yea, saith the Lord. Oh, know that I rule over the universe. Yea, it would seem to some that it is out of control. But I say unto you, yea, that all things are in order as I bring time upon time, saith the Lord. Yea, I know all things, and nothing is done undercover as far as I am concerned, saith the Lord. In me you can have an unction that you too can know all things, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, seek after this unction. Seek after this knowledge. Yea, tune in to the knowledge of the Almighty. Yea, and let wisdom find its way through your spirit, saith the Lord. And you shall live, and it shall be an abundance of life that you live, saith God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Bless the Lord, Brother Lamb.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.